Tuesday, June 10th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today, the podcast. I'm Adam Azer without Melchior and Scott White. Gregory Polanco is coming up. We got a change in the Tampa Bay bullpen. We have some hot and cold hitters to talk about, including the three-time homerer, Lonnie Chisenhall. Hello, guys.
Homerer.
Yeah.
I like that word.
That's what he is.
Oh, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. That's the headline I'm submitting for Fantasy Baseball Today, the video show. Well, every morning, the three of us send topics around for discussion, and we settle on five for our first segment. And I always try to make clever headlines, some of them appropriate, some of them completely inappropriate, that would never have a chance of being on the show. And regardless of how funny or appropriate they are, they never make the show. Tobin never lets it happen. So Hall Yes is probably not going to happen, but what about More No? More like Less No? Because he's been struggling.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's not your finest
work. But people
work.
Will laugh at it.
No, they
I'm
won't.
I'm not so sure about that.
We just heard it and we didn't laugh.
Al's laughing.
I'm laughing at our own reaction.
Well, exactly.
To your
that's
very
what you
unfunny
laugh at.
Headline.
I think we should go with it.
But that's all right, because, yeah, we say things. Well, when I say we, I mean I say things that are not funny all the time that are so unfunny that
right.
They're funny.
Sometimes unfunny things can be funny based on your reaction. You know what I'm saying? Email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Speaking of funny things, before we get into the show today, you need to be familiar with our Eye on Baseball staff on cbssports.com. Mike Exisa, Matt Snyder, and Dane Perry, and of course John Heyman. But Dane Perry has written a story, the 25 most awesome names of the 2014 draft. And all he's looking at is just the names that that stand out. Like number 24, Keaton Steele. Sounds like handsome cat burglar. He fought his way out of some tough spots, made love out of others. And Dane Perry is like the funniest guy ever. So
you're just saying that because he has a big poster of you in his room.
He's just so funny. So number seven is Zach Pop. And I'm going to try to play the song here. I don't know if it's going to work, but here's Zach Pop. Sounds like member of boy band / teen idol ensemble Up Now. Yes. Who drives the group's merchandise sales and recently broke up with Taylor Swift. Somehow wound up with a co-writing credit on the recently released chart topper Best Prom Ever, Best Kiss Ever. Here's an a cappella sampling from the group's recent in-studio appearance with Carson Daly.
It was the best prom ever, was the best kiss ever, but we'll let it go, you never. It was the best prom ever, was the best kiss ever, but we'll let it go, you never.
And that's Dane Perry in a nutshell, people.
Those are some dulcet tones right there.
If nobody could hear that, please go to the website and check it out. And I'm sorry, that was a total dud if you couldn't hear it.
So he's just like recording himself yep. in the bedroom yep. screaming in a microphone.
That's Dane Perry. All right.
Who does that?
Tampa Bay is going closer by committee. We'll get to Polanco in a second. Joe Maddon wants Grant Balfour to use his fastball more, but the velocity is down, so it's Oviedo, Peralta, McGee, they're going to get some opportunities. What have you guys done fantasy-wise with this news?
What have you done? Well, there's not a lot of leagues where I need a closer. So, obviously, when you have this many options, and Balfour's still among them, he says he wants Balfour back in eventually. You don't really feel like you've got a handle on it unless you pick up all of them, and that's just not realistic. So I didn't even bother in those leagues where I don't need a closer. But there are a couple where I do. Those are so deep that Jake McGee, who I think is the most exciting of the group, is already owned. So I prioritized the other two, Oviedo and Peralta. And I did get Peralta in a league. Now, the interesting thing about McGee is, like I said, he's the most exciting, but he's also their only late-inning lefty, which might preclude him from having a chance. But we said the same thing about Sean Doolittle at first, and look how that went.
Yeah. And so here's what I'm thinking.
What do you think?
They need McGee as a lefty. Oviedo and Peralta, they might not be very good as closers. So maybe Joe Maddon orders himself up a Boxberger.
Oh, that's a big one.
Dark horse.
Now, Doolittle, they do have a bot in the bullpen, at least one other lefty in Oakland, so that helped the transition for Doolittle. My thought with McGee was, I picked him up in a league where I own Balfour, and I thought about picking him up in another league where I didn't need saves, just because Doolittle's been so good. Once he finally got the job, he's been so good, and McGee is a really good reliever. So if he were a closer, he could end up being one of those must-own guys. I just think about
it. Yeah, I agree.
First of all, they may never win another game. And it might take a while for that to happen. So yeah. I think you guys would, if you were going to pick up one, you wouldn't drop Balfour, but if you were going to pick up one, it'd be McGee, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw some people go pretty hard after Oviedo, who was formerly Leo Nunez, who was formerly the Marlins closer.
Right.
But I'm not so sure. He's been kind of inconsistent recently. Joel Peralta is actually, his overall ERA is bad, but in recent appearances, he's been dominant. So I don't know that Oviedo is a clear standout over him, just if I can add that.
And you just prompted me to remember something that's completely fantasy irrelevant when you mentioned Fernando Abad, which made me think of the good side of Profar being out for the season, because next week.
Oh, nice.
The Odor matchup is in play.
Maybe.
Abad
probably facing some type of suspension for throwing at Manny Machado. But let's hope it's not that series, Al.
Yeah.
And there will be others. Carlos Gonzalez will have exploratory surgery on his finger. We should have a better timetable after that. And Fox Sports reports bad progress for Matt Wieters. Elbow surgery is looking more likely. I don't know if you guys own him in any leagues, but if you do, have you dropped him, Matt Wieters?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I mean, could be on the verge of it, but wait till the final news comes out.
So let's get to the good stuff. Later on, I mentioned some of the guys we'll talk about, but also Victor Martinez has already homered more than he did last year. Ian Desmond's been great lately. Eugenio Suarez and Danny Santana doing it again. I know Al's been liking Jared Cozart. We'll talk about that. Neil Walker's on the DL after an appendectomy. And Gregory Polanco, Pirates outfield prospect, was called up. So, first of all, before Polanco, Josh Harrison, second base now?
Yes.
All right. He's cooled off. He's 2 for his last 19, but he did start at second base and led off yesterday and went 0 for 4. So, I have some questions about Gregory Polanco from our emailers. Joe Schmo from Janesville, Wisconsin. Buy or sell, Gregory Polanco will keep his starting job, provided he doesn't blow it when Neil Walker returns from the disabled list.
He'll keep it unless he doesn't blow it. Yes, I can buy that.
Yeah.
In other words, unless he totally stinks, Gregory Polanco is going to be a starter.
And even if he does totally stink, I mean, in the short period of time we expect, well, I don't know, appendectomy, it could be more than a short period of time. I'll just say yes and leave it at that.
Yeah, actually, for Neil Walker owners, I hope it's not just a short turnaround, because didn't Adam Dunn try to come back really fast from that a few years ago? Is that what I'm...
Yeah, but I think Angel Magan did too.
Yeah, there were some that...
Good, I thought. But now I'm testing my crappy memory, so
yeah,
I'm gonna get out of this conversation.
So anyway, point is...
Detour.
Yeah.
Detour.
Polanco will be fine in that role.
Sam A. in North Hollywood, California. Would you drop Leonis Martin for Polanco in a 10-team points league?
I surely would.
In a heartbeat.
Would you do it in a roto league?
In a heartbeat.
Ryan in Horsham, PA. Dear Sam, Norman,
Horsham,
Cliff, whatever, Al. You know what? You've lived there. I haven't. Don't hold that against me. Dear Sam, Norman, Cliff, I love Cheers. What a great show. With Gregory Polanco getting called up, I'll have to activate him. I'll need to drop one of the following: Castellanos, Azuna, or Arcia. 14-team head-to-head points league with four outfielders.
That's hard.
I'm dropping the Castanets there. Castellanos.
Three guys with terrible plate discipline, so there's no tiebreaker there. I'll drop Ozuna.
And okay, so you like Polanco better than Ozuna, which leads me to my next question: where are you guys ranking Gregory Polanco points in Roto? And he can give you steals and power, right?
No, not so much power. I don't think.
Okay. He'll give you some power. He won't be. He's not like a speedster.
No.
He's not like Brett Gardner.
You think he's like Starling Marte with better OBP?
I would hope for some more pop.
I've been hoping, if you go and look at what Andrew McCutchen did in his rookie season, he hit about 12 home runs and 450 at-bats with good on-base percentage. And I think close to 25 steals. I'm hoping for something like that from Polanco. And McCutchen that first year was must start basically from the time he came up.
Okay.
So that's what I'm thinking.
So top 40 Polanco?
Yeah.
Well, you've got him just outside right now.
I'm okay. So before he got called up, I had him just outside. 48th. I think it'll be pretty easy to get him in then. So I'm looking at the top 40 at the bottom. There's Billy Hamilton, Yelich, Pagan. That's in points leagues. He'll be probably right around that group. Oh, and I see I still have Will Myers ahead. I'll need to move him below. So, yeah, I think I can get him in the top 40.
I'll get him in the top 50.
You going to like him better than Tavares?
I will. I'll say yes.
In both formats?
In both formats.
All right. I don't know that there's much else to say about Polanco. We've been talking about him for a while.
I've got Tavares in the top 40, so I do like Tavares better.
Okay. And stat of the day, number one, Lonnie Chisenhall became the first player to go 5-for-5 with 3 home runs and 9 RBI since 1920 when the RBI became a stat. That's according to Major League Baseball, a pretty good source. Now I know when the RBI became a stat, but also Lonnie Chisenhall is 83% owned. I actually just picked him up in a league. Why not? So he's going nuts right now. 385, 7 homers, 32 RBI, 9 walks, 25 strikeouts. And in previous seasons, Chisenhall has batted 255, 268, and 225. But 3 seasons, none of them full seasons. What do you guys make of this?
I think if you own Chisenhall, and now you do.
Yeah.
You should sell him.
Well, nobody's going to take him. In a 1/3 baseman league when I just picked him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in your case, probably not. But if you already own him and maybe in a deeper format, I do think you should sell him because he's been hot. And obviously this game's going to attract a lot of attention. And I'm not buying it that much. I think he's improved just by the fact that he's not striking out as much. But I don't think he's improved that much.
Okay.
I would think it's a situation where you need to make sure you're selling high, though, because third base is weak. Chisenhall has, I mean, he was a top 40 prospect before he came up. Obviously, it didn't go well the first couple years, but he wouldn't be the first player that happened to.
Right.
My main interest is I want to see him play against lefties. He's hit over 500 against them in his limited opportunities this year, so I don't think it's so far-fetched that they try him there. But as a part-timer, he's going to be... somebody you'd obviously have to watch the matchup closely on.
Okay, how about Chisenhall or Headley?
I would actually rather have Headley. I know, looking at the stats right now, that sounds insane, but I do think Chisenhall is going to regress a lot, and Headley still has the upside.
You know, I think I might want to move Chisenhall ahead, just because I feel like in a league where Chisenhall is still out there, you drop Headley. Headley just sits there, you know?
Chisenhall or Sandoval?
Sandoval.
Sandoval.
Chisenhall or Nolan Arenado?
Arenado.
Arenado.
Okay. That could be a pretty good deal there.
Yes, it could.
If you guys, you know, and one that you could pull off, certainly.
Yeah.
Because I could see Arenado owner wanting to do that too and making sense if you need to win now.
Sure. Yep.
Stat of the day number two, Victor Martinez has 15 home runs and 15 strikeouts this season. How about that? He hit his 15th last night, batting .332 with 15 homers and 40 RBI, and he's already hit more home runs than he did in 2013, as I mentioned, but in 99 fewer games. Right now, Victor Martinez is slugging .597. He has not slugged .500 since 2007, and he's 35 years old. He's a top 4 first baseman behind Encarnacion and Goldschmidt in points, and behind those two and Miguel Cabrera in Roto. So what do you do with a guy who's like having a breakout season at age 35 and he's just been so good?
You know, yeah, this is one of those cases where if I have him, I feel like the smart thing to do is sell high, is, you know, as we always say, if you can really get current value for him. And yet if I drafted Martinez low, which, you know, our owners were probably able to do.
Right.
And they're getting this kind of production. I know I would not be able to pull the trigger on that.
Like, would you trade him for Anthony Rizzo?
No way.
I think I would.
You would?
I think I would, yeah.
In a roto league?
In a... Yeah, well, either one.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I know Rizzo walks all the time. So.
Yeah, he walks all the time. So, in terms of their strikeouts canceling out their walks, that kind of applies for both of them. And I think in the end, Rizzo's going to have more home runs.
Okay.
I think, I'm sort of buying into this. Like, it wouldn't surprise me for Victor Martinez to turn into Victor Martinez in the second half, which is still a good DH, but...
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to come across as a downer on Victor Martinez right. or anything. Just his career high in home runs is what, 20?
Like 23-ish.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And that was a while ago.
Yeah.
He's the AL MVP right now, I think. He or maybe Encarnacion. But, I mean, these numbers are ridiculous.
I buy the batting average Cruz a lot too. More, particularly since he has only 15 strikeouts.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, tweet of the day, number one, from Chris Branthuver. Where does Lonnie Chisenhall rank rest of season? Hashtag the Chiz Kid.
Yeah, we just kind of went through that, didn't we?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, anything else you want to say about Chisenhall, Adam?
No. Do you guys have a number in your rankings for him that you're thinking?
No, not yet. It'll be tight between him, Headley, and Lowry, I want to say. They're all bunched together. Right now I'm thinking Lowry, Chisenhall.
Lowry.
Yeah, right. Lowry, Chisenhall, Headley.
So that's 20 for you. 2021-22 for you.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the same thing, maybe a little bit lower. I've got Plouffe 23. That's about where he's going to land.
Tweet of the day number two is from Timothy Forbes. Why is Charlie Morton not more owned? He's not amazing, but he's better than a lot of other options as far as ratios. And Charlie Morton is 34% owned, coming off a very good start. 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, no walks, 7 strikeouts against the Cubs. His last 2 starts have been against San Diego and the Cubs, so keep that in mind. But Morton is 3-7 with a 3.14 ERA, 29 walks, 61 strikeouts. Not a good ratio there.
Yeah.
80 and a third innings.
Yeah,
never
sure
gives
what,
up home runs.
I'm not sure what ratio he's referring to.
Yeah,
unless it's home runs.
Yeah, home runs and ground ball rate. Those are really good for him. I think he maybe should be more owned in points leagues, but in rotisserie, there's just too much to worry about there with wins, because I don't really trust any of the Pirates pitchers to get that much run support.
Right.
Even with Polanco there now. And he's a liability for whip, too.
Tweet of the day number three is from Brian Misiura. Is the Morneau ride over? Numbers in sharp decline over the last month. Morneau or Morales rest of season? And I've got Morneau in the last 33 games. 227, 4 home runs, 12 RBI, 7 walks, only 13 strikeouts.
You know, I'm not ready to say it's over. Right? There's a chance it could be, because obviously the last few years Morneau has been kind of a bottom feeder in mixed leagues. But last 33 games, look at that line, only 13 strikeouts. And at Coors Field, if he's making that much contact, I'm still inclined to bet on him over somebody like Morales, who, I mean, you know he's going to be relevant, but not... probably not any beyond that.
Yeah, and I agree. And not only am I not thinking the ride's over, I think he can get back to where he was earlier in the year. A lot of the slump has been at home. His power numbers at home have come down. He's still got an ISO on the road of, I think it's 212, which is really good. Mm. And it's certain to be better than that in Coors Field. So I think there's a bounce back coming for Morneau.
Okay.
Not more or less.
Looking... Looking at Justin Morneau's splits, he's now hitting .221 against lefties. So I do think that's a concern. Now, with Kadire going on the DL, maybe he stays in the lineup.
Kadire's out like 2 months, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else they would spell him with.
Well, Drew Stubbs is supposedly going to inherit a lot of playing time.
At first base?
Oh, no, not in the outfield.
Who would play first base?
Right, it's going to have to be Morneau.
Yeah.
Unless they did, like, Rosario or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Who stood out to you guys on Monday? What do you got?
All right. Well, you mentioned Jarrett Cozart before, and he stood out to me as much as anyone who's not Lonnie Chisenhall. And you know, this is a rare game where the strikeout to walk ratio was really good, but just his overall results going back to late April have been very good. So he's one of these pitchers that I think, actually much like Charlie Morton, could be useful in fantasy even if his control isn't all that good, because he does, you know, doesn't give up a lot of extra base hits. And I think there's some strikeout potential that we saw here against the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, I think Cozart is a bit of a sleeper right now.
Last two starts for Cozart, 12 and two-thirds innings, three walks and 16 strikeouts against the Angels and at the Diamondbacks. And would you rather have Cozart or Ruby De La Rosa?
I'd rather have De La Rosa because I feel like at least the rate we've seen Cozart perform up to this point with the strikeouts. Now, back-to-back eight strikeout games, that's nice. But hasn't really performed at that level consistently. I'll take the shot on the pitcher who hasn't let me down in that area yet.
Yeah, I have to agree with Scott on that.
Ian Desmond was a standout for me. 3 for 5, fell a home run short of the cycle. Last 28 days, Ian Desmond is your number one shortstop in fantasy with a .273 average, which is pretty much what he hits. 8 home runs, 23 RBI, 13 runs, 2 steals, 9 walks, 25 strikeouts. Desmond's having, you know, he's usually like combines for, what, 45 home runs and steals around there?
Something like that, yeah.
This year it's like all home runs and very few steals.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't think you're going to complain, but it's just interesting to see.
I mean, it will hurt in the final line if he doesn't pick up the steals. And
what if he hits 30 home runs?
If he hits 30 home runs, then yeah, maybe that'll cancel out a lot of that, but that would be a career high, and he's kind of he's older than you probably think he is. He's 28, I think, so I'm not sure there's a lot of growth potential left.
Yeah. He's hitting a lot of homers right now, though.
Yeah, he is.
All right, well, anyway, Ian Desmond still...
Hey, he's still
Well, Al, you were concerned about him because he was striking out so much. He's got 13 home runs, by the way, 4 steals this year.
But I noted on our show yesterday, we had our segment on players we're encouraged by, and Desmond was mine because he has been... the strikeouts are, yeah, still high, but he's walking more and showing better plate discipline.
Okay, anybody else? Do we need to care about Christian Bergman for Colorado? Pitched decently against the Braves?
I really don't think so. It's a contact pitcher at Coors Field. I'll always bet against that.
Yeah, I'll always bet against the Braves lineup.
that's the thing. I mean, it's a better start than I expected, but I think maybe you do take the matchup into account there.
How about Eugenio Suarez and Danny Santana if you need a shortstop? Who would you prefer?
Suarez, right?
Yeah, I would rather have Suarez too.
Okay, our fantasy owners don't agree. Suarez 10% owned, Danny Santana 24% owned. So.
I think that's just a timing issue.
Yeah.
Because Santana's been up and starting for a while. Suarez only in the lineup for, what, I think 3 games now because he got called up and got hurt right away.
Games,
so 4
yeah.
games now.
Anyone else, guys? Shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's do it. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Miguel Cabrera was DHing last night after hurting his hamstring Sunday, but he homered, so he's good. Yasiel Puig was in the lineup after he hurt his hip flexor Saturday. D. Gordon did not start, partially because of a left-handed pitcher, Tony Cingrani. But Gordon pinch hit. He singled, and he was caught stealing.
Dun,
whoa,
dun,
yeah,
dun.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. George Springer was out with a sore knee. He appears to be day-to-day. Tyler Skaggs on the DL with a hamstring strain. He's expected back in 15 days. Hector Santiago is about to rock everyone's world.
Whatever. he got rocked at AAA Salt Lake.
He did?
So, yeah.
I was just about to look that up.
Yeah,
damn it, why is he so bad?
Yeah.
What's going on? Rajay Davis sat again. So did Torrey Hunter. These two guys are slumping, and Davis is sitting a lot. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't worry me too much with Torrey Hunter. But Davis has just never really had that regular role over an extended period, so... I'm not sure what Osmus's vision is for Davis's playing time, but I'm surprised he hasn't played more.
I mean, if you just need steals out of him, you could still get that as a part-time player, but...
Same as, you know, the last several years.
Yeah, but if he were batting leadoff, that'd be obviously a much better situation. Kendrys Morales, 61% owned. He batted 6th. He DH'd for Minnesota at Toronto. 1 for 3 with a walk and a home run. Starling Marte had a big game, 3 for 4, 2 doubles, 2 RBI, a steal. in two attempts, maybe the Polanco news is going to spark him.
Yeah, or that benching did.
Yeah. Andrew McCutchen, 4 home runs in June. Steven Drew, day-to-day with oblique soreness. And I thought maybe that would put Brock Holt at third and Bogaerts back at short, but it looks like they might be committed to Holt in left because they kept him there with Jonathan Herrera at short. And they got shut out by Bud Norris. Steven Strasburg was removed as a precaution with back tightness. Anthony Rendon was out again with a hand injury. He is expected back today. Angel Pagan was out with a shin injury. This Kadire DL stint now could be 6 weeks or longer with the fractured shoulder. Does that make Corey Dickerson or Drew Stubbs or somebody a must own?
I don't think it changes Dickerson's value, so I actually don't, because of the platooning that Walt Weiss does. I think he's a little shy of must own. Makes Drew Stubbs more intriguing because he's kind of on a pace that's similar to what he did with the Reds in his best season, plus much higher batting average, but in terms of home runs and steals, similar pace. I don't buy the batting average, though, but that older version of Drew Stubbs was roto-relevant.
Would you rather have Stubbs or Dickerson?
Oh, Dickerson.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Dickerson or the Twins guys?
I'd rather have the Twins guys because I trust the playing time more.
Okay.
Agreed.
Tony Cingrani gave up a career-high 6 runs, doing everything he can to go to the bullpen, and that's probably going to happen this weekend.
The swan song right here. The horrible nightmare is over.
I just don't think I'd be afraid to drop him now.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't.
It's not like Alex Wood, where I've been trying to hang on to him as long as I can.
Right.
I got
Wood was... Sorry. Wood was removed because the Braves had excess, and they wanted to save his innings. Like,
right?
It was never meant to be a permanent thing. Cingrani, I don't know that they may consider this a failure. Him trying to incorporate this third pitch and may decide that it means he needs to be a reliever now.
Right.
That's what most teams thought when he was drafted in 2011. So it's something to be concerned about.
Scott Van Slyke homered twice off Tony Cingrani. He's now slugging .837 against lefties, just to further complicate things in the Dodgers outfield. I am not hosting fantasy baseball today, this afternoon, because I said if Arcia or Willingham didn't homer yesterday against R.A. Dickey, then I was going to let a viewer host a show. So
who's our host today?
Willingham tripled. That was close. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And the nearest viewer, come down to the office.
The nearest one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'll be on set. Alex Rios leads the league with 8 triples. Josh Donaldson is 0-for-13 with 6 strikeouts since being hit by a pitch on the hand last weekend. And he made 3 throwing errors last night. But I don't think it was his right hand. I think it was his left hand. But still.
I think that would still impact.
Throwing errors?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about just the
hitting.
13.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would impact that. Again, probably not the throwing errors.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Keep an eye on it. And I don't know if you saw what happened in the Astros game, but Tony Sipp, a left-handed pitcher, was pitching. Bo Porter removed him from the pitcher's mound, put him in right field, brought in a righty pitcher, Jerome Williams, to face one guy, Paul Goldschmidt, and then he brought Sipp back in to face a lefty. So that was pretty
cool. Isn't that called like the Waxahachie shift or something like that? I'll have to Google that.
No idea. Yeah, right. You will. But that was cool. All right, let's do 3 up. None down today. Everybody did well yesterday. 3 up number 1.
Impossible.
Is Dexter Fowler. 3-for-5 with a double and 2 runs scored. 284 on the year with 4 home runs, 19 RBI, 37 runs, 6 steals and 9 attempts. 40 walks, 51 strikeouts, 9 doubles, 3 triples for Fowler. And he's hot, batting .316 over his last 41 games. That's a pretty extended streak. I never know what to make of Fowler's hot streaks, though.
He has an on-base percentage of like .400.
Wow.
Now, and he can be that type of player. The power's been... The power's come and gone over the years, but it's clear to me anyway that moving out of Coors Field to Houston isn't going to change fundamentally the type of player he is. And that type of player has upside. That type of player You know, it was kind of weird that the Astros traded for him, an established player in their rebuilding state. But I think that shows how underappreciated they thought his on-base ability was, to value him to that extent. And honestly, there's not a GM I trust much more than Jeff Luhnow right now. So I do think Fowler needs to be on mixed league owners' radar, provided you're not counting on him to hit home runs.
Polanco or Fowler?
Polanco.
Yeah, Polanco.
What do you got there?
Waxahachie swap.
Okay. Ozuna or Fowler?
Fowler.
Fowler in points, but I'll go Ozuna in roto because of the power, potential. Difference.
Gardner or Fowler?
Gardner.
In roto.
Gardner's very underrated in points leagues, but I guess Fowler is too. He's 62% owned. So he's out there. The truth is out there. Asdrubal Cabrera, 71% owned. Last 28 games, 307. Five of his six home runs, 15 RBI, or 28 days. I think it actually might have been 28 games. 15 RBI, sorry about that. 25 runs, two steals, blah, blah, blah. He's hitting well. Last year, Cabrera was the number 13 shortstop. This year, he's right around there, pretty much doing what he did. But, you know, homering a lot lately. Anyone want to say anything about Asdrubal Cabrera?
Pshaw.
Okay. Do you not have him as a top 13 shortstop?
I'm pretty positive I do not. I'm going to say about 16.
All right. And Jose Reyes is...
We're 23rd.
Wow. Do you feel like we're moving him up now?
No, I don't. Wait, something doesn't look right here.
He's looking in a mirror, folks. Hey, now. I took Al's clothes to the dry cleaner yesterday, so I can...
Yeah.
I've got a few bullets.
There's that group of shortstops after, you know, you get past Lowry and it really is Lowry this time. Lowry, yeah. Everett Cabrera, Andrelton Simmons, because you don't want to downgrade him too much. And then I have Yonhervis Solarte in that group too. But then you get into like the Peralta, Hardy, Ibar, Cabrera.
Yeah.
Alcides Escobar group. Guys who have never been high end, but do you feel like they're passable in mixed leagues? And I'm not really sure how to order those, but Cabrera, I still think, is firmly among them.
And do you guys have Alexi Ramirez ahead of that group?
Yes, yeah, I do.
I do, too. And when I said something that doesn't look right here, it's because I thought I dropped Bad Miller further than I did. Because I still have him ahead of Asdrubal, and I'm not sure. I think that's more of a problem with Miller's ranking.
Should we submit our anagrams game to the audience?
Of course we should.
All right. So here, I don't know if you guys, if you were out there and you watched the video show and you saw it yesterday, you might know what we're talking about. But we're trying to make anagrams with players' last names. How did it start?
Because Hector, you said Noesi, that Noesi could be spelled as onesie.
Well, I think you said, I think somebody said there's a no in Noesi.
Oh, yeah, I said that, yeah.
Right. I don't know. Obviously, it was you. And I said you could almost spell onesie. So then we try to make some anagrams out of players' names. And what did you come up with today?
Today, I mean, a whole list. I'll just drop a few. LaRoche could be Corral.
Okay.
Seager can be Grease.
That's right.
And David Lowe?
Uh-huh.
Respell that as Ghoul.
Oh, yeah. That was good. But if you can come up with some that are actually fantasy relevant, that would be hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of over-determining the task here, I think.
Well, because we wanted to make it a segment. We can't just go up there and say, oh, David Lowe is Ghoul. But we Hosmer is Homers and say, where are the Homers?
That's a pretty unique one. But, I mean, I think we could be creative and, you know, talk about, I don't know, Kyle Seager greasing the skids or something.
I'm fine with that. Does that have to be all the letters? Or can we say, like, you can spell...
Hey, you're the host.
Reyes with I's. And say, he's got his eyes on 30 steals this year.
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of weak.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to fit it into your specific guidelines there to make it fantasy relevant.
Yeah, it's tough. But if you have any, tweet
not
us.
As fun.
At Adam Azer, at Scott White. CBS Scott White?
At CBS Scott White. I had to think of my own Twitter handle there.
At Al Melk.
You don't
CBS
tweet yourself that much.
I yeah, don't tweet like, myself much.
It's just
at
like
all,
you don't call yourself. So you...
I forgot my phone number. Yeah.
Now, don't give us any anagrams for R.A. Dickey. That's all I'm going to say. let's go to Jose.
Dicey? If you leave
oh,
out a
dicey,
letter.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. He is pretty dicey. That
yeah.
R.A. Dickey. R.A. Dicey.
Yeah.
Two home runs yesterday. More on him in a second. Jose Reyes stole two bases. He has 14 steals and 15 attempts. He has four home runs. He went 3-for-5. Do you think Jose Reyes will be the number two shortstop in fantasy when it's all said and done?
Why did you pick number two?
Because Hanley's been good, not great.
I'll take Hanley.
I'll take Hanley, too. I've got him number three. Scott's got him number four.
Behind who?
Reyes, you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
Tulo, Hanley, Blank, and Reyes.
I have Desmond ahead.
Ah.
But, I don't know. Those two are pretty even in my eyes.
Rotation time. David Price. Is he the new Felix Hernandez? Is he going to win eight games this year and hurt fantasy owners?
yeah, I would think so.
You think he's going to win eight games?
I mean, that's a very specific prediction.
He's got four.
I guess I'm going to sell that if I have to land right on the eight, but I think he could easily have a losing record and maybe no more than 10.
Mm. 10 walks, 111 strikeouts.
Well, that's until he gets traded.
My goodness. Right.
I'll give him a better chance. I think the luck will turn around to some degree. Not that I think the Rays have a, you know, top of the line lineup, but it's not really that different from the one they had last year, and obviously that turned out okay. So I'm not saying he's going to win 15 games, but he'll win enough that you're not really
suffering.
Yeah, you're not disappointed you held on to him.
Dan Herron. How droppable is Dan Herron? 89% owned, 20 strikeouts in his last seven starts.
Well, I think he's pretty darn droppable. Not that you can't use him, but can pick him back up or get somebody else who's of similar value and pick that pitcher up.
Stroman or Herron?
Yeah, Stroman.
I agree.
Jorge De La Rosa or Herron?
Come on.
Yeah, really. pick a better De La Rosa.
Save that for the hurt
Henderson
day.
Alvarez.
Or
Herron.
I'll take Herron still.
Yeah, well.
Alvarez is just...
I mean, Herron doesn't throw complete game shutouts all the time.
No.
Hector Santiago or Dan Herron?
Yep. Come on.
All right. Jesse Chavez, you know, I was approaching this two-start week as like, I'm going to drop him if he doesn't do well. But can't argue with yesterday too much. Six innings, eight hits, not great. Three runs, two earned. One walk and five strikeouts, and I just feel like he's six innings, three runs. That's what I expect from him.
Yeah,
maybe
this
six
is like
innings, four.
This has become like the quintessential Chavez start. I think it's four in a row where he's had more than a hit per inning and less than a strikeout per inning. So you're not talking about a guy who can come out and pitch like an ace from time to time. But particularly because of the SPARP, the relief pitcher eligibility. He's still somebody who's worth owning in more leagues than not.
Yeah, I think you give Jose Quintana relief eligibility. This is what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Garrett Richards, seven innings, four hits, one walk, Seven innings, four hits, one run, no walks, four Ks. 309 ERA, top 20 starting pitcher. Does he finish in the top 30?
I don't think so. But I think not too far off.
Dan Herron and R.A. Dickey are both owned in 89% of leagues. Who's more over-owned?
Herron.
I will agree with that, actually.
Dickey has allowed seven home runs in his last five starts. He gave up home runs to the first two batters he faced, then no more runs, but only 5 1/3 last night. Yeah, whatever. Fringy starting pitchers. Tell me who you like from this list. Ryan Vogelsong. Last three starts, 5.79 ERA and 23 hits and 18 2/3. I don't like it.
Is it pretty much just this start that was bad? I guess he had the four earned run against the Cardinals.
The hits have been bad, though. Yeah. He just hasn't pitched great since I fell in love with him. Josh Colemanter, three earned runs in seven innings against Houston. Rick Porcello's been brutal in his last four starts. 32 hits in 23 innings. 10 walks and 16 Ks. Six walks in one start, though. Gavin Floyd pitched well at Colorado. Bud Norris, eight innings of shutout ball against the Red Sox. Jake Peavy, 4 runs on 8 hits and 7 innings, 1 walk and 7 Ks. And Jared Cozart, we talked about. Vogelsong, Cole Mentzer, Porcello, Floyd, Norris, Peavy, Cozart. Top four.
Cole Mentzer, Vogelsong, Porcello, Cozart.
So I am going to go Vogelsong, Porcello, Peavy, and then Cole Mentzer.
No Cozart.
Nope, he would probably be fifth, though.
Hold the Cozart.
Not a great group here, other than, well, I like Vogelsong. Al likes Cole Mentzer.
Yeah.
But I don't mean, I can't think of any leagues other than our really deep league that I'd be going after any of these guys other than Vogelsong.
I would agree with that.
I would too. Well, okay, not but true, because I've started Cole Mentzer in 2 start weeks
in
12-team leagues, so that's not true, and I probably could see doing that with Cozart if he stays on track.
In the bullpen, Casey Jansen blew a save. First 2 earned runs he allowed all season. And then he got a win.
And the hit that plated the game-tying runs was like a bloop hit in the shallow outfield. So
yeah. He's cool. Ronald Belisario got his 6th save, but he did it in Belisario fashion. 1 inning, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 1 strikeout. I'm going to say he didn't pitch in 5 days, and that's why. Why not? Ernesto Friere has a save in 3 straight games. Joe Smith doesn't have a save since May 14th. It's over.
It is over. Okay. Even I'm willing to concede.
Okay. Chad Qualls earned another save with a scoreless 9th at the Diamondbacks. Tommy Hunter pitched a perfect 9th in a 4-run game against Boston in his first game back from the DL.
Oh, no. It's over for Zach Britton.
Not true, I'm guessing.
Not true. I don't think.
And trying to look for some acronyms here. Don't have any right now.
Or anagrams?
Anagrams. Anagrams.
It's tough to do on the
Squall.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's good. Good job, Al.
Thank Squall. Just put that S on the front there.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. T-Runt. That's Tommy Hunter. Injuries, news, and notes, part 2. Mitch Moreland may not have ankle surgery after all, or he still might. But if he doesn't, he'll be out 3 to 4 weeks instead of 3 months. Rougned Odor, no serious shoulder damage day-to-day.
Door.
Eddie Butler on the DL. That was quick. Rotator cuff inflammation. Didi Gregorius is eating into Chris Owings' playing time. Justin Smoke was out again with a leg injury. Michael Saunders was out again with a shoulder injury. I am so out of breath right now. I've been talking a lot. You guys talk about anything.
If you move the S to the beginning of Owings, it's sewing. Like sewing seeds.
Yeah.
Ah.
Al's going to be great
just,
at this.
Just take a... Yeah. You're good with moving the S to the front.
Yeah, I've got that strategy down.
You got that.
By the way, like I said, I had a lengthy list of those anagrams. I did get some help. I enlisted my wife in that.
I can see her being good at that, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you guys do last night? Just talk. Or read emails. I don't care. I need to.
Yeah. No,
I read a lot of reviews on Amazon.
For what?
For a mattress. Getting a mattress.
Oh, I have... like a Tempur-Pedic or whatever.
Really?
Life-changing.
Really?
I think that's what I have.
It's a little out of my budget.
No, it was $100 more than a regular mattress.
Well, I don't know that you were reading reviews on Amazon for mattresses then, because I think I got a pretty good deal. Granted, I haven't tried it out, and so that's risky. And how do you return a mattress you don't like that you got through the mail? But I'm a gambler.
I don't know.
I'm a gambler when it comes to my mattresses.
Bring it back to fantasy baseball. So whenever I hear people talk about mattresses, I think about leaving the last S off for savings. And then that always reminds me of Wellington Castillo. And I don't know what he's leaving the second L off for.
For losing?
Yeah. Or Willy Peralta?
Yeah, Wiley Peralta. Sure. Emails and tweets. Let's get back to it here. Oh, I started watching Man of Steel.
Don't finish.
That's what everybody said. I thought it was good.
Oh, come on.
But I only watched like 15 minutes.
Well.
I was interested.
You'll probably lose interest pretty quickly.
Okay.
There's a lot of building exploding and that's...
I didn't realize it was basically the Superman 2. Superman 2 plot?
I don't know.
With the three bad guys? General Zod? I think that was Superman 2. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I didn't.
The original.
I'm not familiar with the original
ones,
really. No.
They're good. The first two are great.
Oh, I hear you, but Man of Steel I don't think was good.
All right, Paul Kanga says, if constructing a new league, would you use hitter strikeouts, pitcher home runs allowed, or pitcher total bases? Rank these.
Hitter Ks.
Pitcher home runs allowed or pitcher total bases?
Pitcher total bases, pitcher home runs.
Oh, so you're going hitter Ks one?
Yes.
And then total bases and then Ks. And then home runs. I don't know how I feel about hitter Ks anymore. Since we set a new strikeout record every year, I don't know if it's like, well, hit or strike out, who cares? Or if it's like, well, this guy never strikes out. That's quite a skill.
Gives that guy some value.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, I think deducting of, well, this is, we're talking about categories here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just to broaden the conversation, I think deducting a full point for a strikeout is overkill, but I think half a point makes sense because otherwise somebody like Mark Trumbo is going to be just an absolute stud, which is unrealistic. He's not that as valuable in real life as he would be in fantasy. I think the idea is to make it so you're assessing players in fantasy as closely as you can to how you assess them in real life.
Okay, but are guys that strike out a lot in baseball really that much less valuable now?
Usually. Not so much because of the strikeout itself, but because of the implication the strikeout has on other factors like batting average.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but you're penalized. If you have a bad batting average, you're penalized for it. But if you're Carlos Gomez...
Not in a head-to-head points league so much.
Oh, all right, fine. But then in a categories league like this, I don't want hitter Ks as a category. I don't think it's a good category.
That's fair.
I think it's too weighty.
No, that's probably
fair. I don't really like any of the categories, but you asked us to rank them.
Neither did Paul, for what it's worth, our tweeter. Okay, Cliff from Salt Lake City, Utah. Dear Chicken, Butter, and Raleigh. The heck is that?
I have no idea. I know what Raleigh is. I know what chicken is.
I know
is.
All
I know
three
what butter
of the
is,
things independently.
But
I don't think they're all cities in North Carolina.
You don't?
No.
Butter, North Carolina?
I don't think so.
No?
It's got to be a restaurant or something. All right, whatever. I'm happy to report that I've canceled my subscriptions to other fantasy podcasts and have decided to take our digital relationship to the next level. That's right. We're going steady, boys.
Exclusivity.
Yeah. With Latos coming off the DL this week and Garrett Cole in a week or so, who would you drop from these players? Chris Davis, John Singleton, Yordano Ventura. It's a 14-team mixed categories league with OBP instead of average. So he has to drop two. Latos, Cole coming off. He's got Chris Davis, Jonathan Singleton, and Yordano Ventura.
I mean, the ones I like the least are Davis and Singleton, and yet they're both pretty much must-owns in that format. I don't know if you can bundle some guys and upgrade somewhere.
Seriously, that
seems like a
thinking.
Waste to drop any of them.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be those two you bundle, because I don't know that Davis and Singleton would move the needle, but maybe Ventura and Singleton would. You know what I'm saying? Like, just whoever you need to combine to get an upgrade,
sure.
that's the way to go.
And a couple of comments about our emailer here. Cliff is leaving the last F off for fantasy.
Yeah, Cliff from one.
And he can give us a scouting report on, what's his name for the Angels that I've just now totally blanked on that you love?
Hector Santiago?
Yes.
Oh, because he's in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
It looks like Butter Chicken is a restaurant in Raleigh. From Kyle. Dear Vinny, Bill, and Mona. What is that? Who's the boss?
The only Mona I know is who's the boss. Yeah.
Over the past 2 years, Torrey Hunter has batted over 300. Are there any underlying stats that might point to a turnaround in the batting average? Because the counting stats have been good.
I never really bought into the 300 for Torrey Hunter. So I could take a look at the underlying stats. But in fact, why don't I do that?
Vinny, Bill, and Mona is my cousin Vinny?
You know, but I couldn't remember who Bill and Mona were.
Same here.
Oh, Bill is Ralph Macchio. He's Bill Gambini.
Okay.
And Mona, I didn't know that was Marissa Tomei's name.
I didn't.
You know,
because she's Mona Lisa Vita.
Oh, right, right.
That's cheap, man. That's like you went to the IMDb page.
I just always Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, you look up your Hunter thing. Angel from Milwaukee. I added players to my bench based on value rather than need. I was thinking of dropping Mejia and Cingrani for Qualls and Andrew Heaney. Or there's Gossman, Duffy, Gibson, and Chase Anderson. Approve? Dropping Mejia and Cingrani for Qualls and Heaney or Gossman, Duffy, Gibson, Chase Anderson?
You know what? I think I'd rather have Gossman than Heaney. But okay. Otherwise, I approve.
You drop Mejia for Qualls?
I think I would. I think I would. I feel like Qualls actually has more job security at this point, and I don't really know what Mejia is.
Cody from Waukesha, Wisconsin, wants to drop Mejia for Cody Allen. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Al, Torii Hunter?
Torii Hunter, yeah. Strikeout rate is down this year, but the reason why I didn't buy into the 300 the last two seasons was the BABIP, and I don't think it's going to go back. Plus, he could regress in the strikeout rate too, so, yeah. They'll look for 300 from Torii Hunter.
We're done. Thanks, guys. We're back tomorrow. What do you got?
Reader from Waukesha or listener from Waukesha?
Hey. Is that where Fonzie is?
Yeah.
Oh. Never seen one episode out. And we're back tomorrow with a Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Watch the video show live at noon Eastern. Scott White, now Melchior, Matt Amazing.